This is the American Fashion Podcast, the fashion industry's favorite show, our weekly look under the hood of the fashion business. Don't miss the show notes for links to books, videos, and brands mentioned in each episode, as well as a link to AmericanFashionPodcast.com, where you can find more information about the series, hosts, and how to be a guest. You'll also find a link to an archive of hundreds of episodes going back to 2014, which include interviews with top designers, insights for beginners on building a brand, sustainability tips, deep thoughts, and all kinds of amazing detail about how this industry functions in all the little niches from a broad range of leaders and experts.
This is American Fashion Podcast. I'm Charles Beckwith, here with Kathy Sheppas.
Hi, everyone.
And our guest is the founder of Casting Coin, Michelle McCormick. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Charles.
Michelle, Casting Coin, you originally think it was a blockchain thing with tokens, but now it's not. So it says coin, but it's not.
It does, right. It's okay. Not. It's 100% centralized.
So what is Casting Coin? What do people experience when they approach this thing?
So Casting Coin is a technology platform. We are a two-sided marketplace. We connect brands directly with talent. We're also actually a lot bigger than that. We're also a productivity tool. And so brands can create their entire campaign in one place. We remove all fragmentation. And so they can hire talent, book studios, book caterers, measure, make payments, et cetera. And on the talent side, they can manage their entire career in one place.
So what kind of talent would be on the platform?
So we we're launching our company with the fashion industry. And so models, photographers, hair, makeup, stylists, photo retouchers, anyone that you need to create a successful fashion campaign, fashion lifestyle campaign.
Okay.
So do you find that a lot of your people that are on the platform have already worked together?
So a lot have, because Casting Coin has launched to the mid to top tier of the industry. That's our launch strategy has been that. And so we are primarily in New York, LA, and Miami, the fashion capitals. And then the brands we're working with are global fashion brands. And so, yes, it's a small world. Anyone that works in this industry knows it's a small world, and a lot of them have worked together. The talent that are on our site, a lot of our growth has been through word of mouth. And so that's so a lot of them have worked together because they've recommended their friends.
So prospective clients can look at portfolios on there and then just arrange to meet the people in person, or how does it usually work?
Not necessarily. It can work that way, but that's really not what the end goal is. The end goal, is total automation, really, and to be able to have everything happen remotely until the shoot. When that's possible, that is the most efficient way to do it. Currently, there's still a lot of, go-sees in person are very common, especially since we're in mostly in New York City and in LA. Brands are still used to that, right? They're still used to meeting people in person. But, we have a long vision for this company and definitely see the more that brands are under the gun to create content really fast and a lot of it, the more they're going to need solutions that are efficient. We're building a really sophisticated video feature where go-sees, right now you can do it via video, but where the quality is even better. And so that, meeting a potential model, for example, online will be almost as effective as meeting them in person.
So I guess the same thing then for space that you may be booking to do a shoot in?
Sure. I mean, the real estate industry has been doing that for, years now. And so you can do video walkthroughs, location walkthroughs.
Right. And they can't hide poor things in a video thing. I'm thinking, how sometimes still shots, it's like, oh, the studio looks good. And then you get there and it's
When we're also on our site, we have ratings and reviews. And so there's only so many times you can't really be that bad for very long, right? So it's only one bad experience and we're highly curated. We have, you know, we have a concierge service. So at this stage, especially, we're vetting everything, and we plan to vet it, you know, forever, really. But at this stage, where we're, you know, working with major, you know, global brands, everything is vetted.
So does a concierge service end up working out to be far more financially beneficial than booking everything individually, or what?
So concierge service, what I mean by concierge service is that we are available to the brand if, for example, a model doesn't show up. They have somebody to call at Casting Coin, and we'll solve that problem. So I don't think that, like, what did you mean by that question?
Well, I guess it's two things. So that's great, because there's a core that will help you, right? A central company that's looking
sure.
out for you, which is great. So then I guess it's a secondary question, as opposed to going to an agency who might coordinate everything for you.
A producer.
Yeah.
No, everything can be done on our platform. Mm-hmm. You know, we have production in our DNA. Our team is, you know, that's what we do. We've done for years. And so what we're solving is, like, we're allowing you to produce your entire campaign on our platform. And so there wouldn't be, like, there wouldn't be a need for anything else. But what else we're doing with the concierge? So, like, the more human involvement there is, the more expensive it gets. And so, as I said, we're a technology platform. So our goal is to automate as much as possible using algorithms and AI. For example, a really interesting way that we're using AI is geolocation gating. So, for example, a model is booked for a shoot, right? 3 hours before the shoot, she has to have her location turned on her phone. 3 hours before the shoot, just automatically, we know if she's, like, X amount of miles away from the shoot. If she's not there, it automatically triggers an alert that another model has to be booked for the shoot. And this all will happen without any human involvement, because when the brands book a model, they're booking backups. Right. And that actually is not happening right now, but that is on our roadmap, and that's what we're building for right now.
So what are some, can you talk about some of the brands that have worked with you?
Yeah, sure.
Already? Yeah,
absolutely. So we work with Estee Lauder, Bobbi Brown, Becca, Masterclass, which is a little bit of a departure. Clinique, Maybelline, a lot of beauty brands have been using us.
That's great. So what was your, and what was your background before?
So I'm a fashion photographer originally. That was how I started my career in New York, as a fashion photographer, working, you know, like, for all the biggest magazines, traveling around the world, Town & Country, Vogue, Vanity Fair, switched over to digital, ended up doing that for a long time. As a producer, I worked with Red Bull, Uber, Lyft. And so I've had my hand in, like, I've had my one foot in the fashion world and one foot in the digital world for a long, it's like 20 years, my career right now. And I've always wanted to find a way to marry those two things and solve a big problem. Like, it's been on the back of my mind for a long time. And then this came along. And this being the inspiration for Casting Coin was cryptocurrency, actually, like Charles, you mentioned in the beginning of the show. And so I had been very interested in Bitcoin for, like, probably 6 years, like a long time. I wrote a blog post about it in, like, 2013. But kind of went off my radar for several years. And then Ethereum came along 2 years ago, and I had an aha moment. You know, when I heard about the concept of smart contracts, it was like, at that moment, I was like, that's the idea.
Yeah.
Where I can marry the two things. This is the problem to solve. I've been on enough photo shoots where I've heard everyone complaining about, like, you know, their agent, or how, like, fragmented the production is. Not that they necessarily use those words, but, like, you know, a lot of my friends are producers. It's like, you know, the amount of emails and phone calls. And it is literally, if you think about, like, all of the industries that have, like, evolved dramatically over the past decade, hotels, banks, taxis, fashion is one of the ones that just has not moved, right?
It's true. And now suddenly it seems like it's moving.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. it was some, you know, you needed somebody to pull the trigger, and you need some, and you need people like me who speaks the language, you know. It's not like a tech. I do not believe people that, you know, the tech in Silicon Valley tech people can come into the fashion world and convince them to change. It is just, it's a hammer, and they won't do it. Eventually they'll have to, but like what you have with our team is you have both, like, equally and like extremely high. We come from an extremely high echelon of both fashion and tech. So we speak the language, and we're not scaring them. So when we're in meetings with like the CEO of Barney's, right, we're not like talking about algorithms and AI and like not speaking their language and going right over, you know, running over their culture, really. Like, you know, I respect fashion. I respect the process and the aesthetics and how important that part of it is. And so I think what we do right is we speak their language and we care equally about like the fashion culture, as well as like we have technology in our DNA as well. Like, we are all about like UX is the most important thing. Like if people have
user experience, for those who don't know.
Yes, user experience. If you make people work for it, they are not going to do it. And so so it really, it gives us, I think it's our secret sauce.
So yeah, it's setting you apart, which is great.
It sure is.
So you're also getting into marketing aspects, or where are you, you know, can you talk about that a little bit?
So in terms of our growth, we've used social media marketing a lot to spread the word. And so through partnerships with like Becca Cosmetics, for example, did a big sponsored our last trade show. And so it was really great. It was like we were considered like, it was the capsule show here in New York, and we created Glam Shoot Station. Basically, we took the idea was to take the platform idea offline. And so we created a photo studio and a makeup station and invited all the brands from the show to come. Our photographers and makeup artists were there. Becca Cosmetics was there. And for 3 days, we just like made up brands and took their picture, and hundreds. And I mean, our station was just like filled the whole time. And it was really, you know, and then in that time, obviously, I was able to like tell people about Casting Coin. And now we have like 150 brands that love Casting Coin. They went away with a free Becca, you know, lipstick, and they understood what we do because we went to them. And so that's another thing that I do, because my background is like a marketer, is like, we're not hiding behind the computer. You know, we're taking this on the street and we're going right to them. And it's, you know, we're planning 5 trade shows next year.
Wow.
Yeah. One of like a really big thing that happened to us recently is Liberty Fairs, which is they, you know, Liberty Fairs. Yeah. They do produce some of the best trade shows in the world. They have, you know, signed a letter of intent with us that we're a vendor of choice for all of their trade shows. So especially Miami Swim Week next year. And so what that does is they are, you know, any brand that needs talent, they are recommending Casting Coin. And so that's 2,200 brands at Miami Swim Week alone. So we're planning a big activation there next year.
That's great.
Yeah, a big VIP party, too, that you'll both be invited to.
So how...
Scarface party. Yeah, it's in Miami. It's a Scarface party. It's going to be amazing. We already planned the whole thing.
That's great.
Yeah, we're going to rent a mansion.
I love that.
Yeah.
So when people are on your site and looking to coordinate things, like, are there categories, you know, that help a brand identify with who they may want to hire? So, and particularly, I'm interested also in influencers, because there's, mm-hmm. you know, that's such a broad category. How would people go about approaching that?
So we have like really granular search criteria for all of our artists. And so models, for example, like you can search anything that you can think of. And a lot of this criteria came from meetings that we've had. So I had a meeting with Smashbox Cosmetics out in LA, and I remember like things that I never would have thought of, but they were like, they're dying. They're so excited about Casting Coin. They're like, we want to be able to search like bad skin. Like, we don't want just good skin. We want, like, oily skin. And, like, that will be, like, a total game changer for them. And so that's the kind of granular search that we're doing. When it comes to influencers, it's obviously the following, right? And, like, where they are, but, like, the number of followers. So, like, if you're a mega, which is over a million, or all the way down to, like, a micro, which is under 1,000, or a nano is under 1,000. And then within that, you can search. So say you have, like, you know, a mega influencer who's in Chicago, who is a female that focuses on beauty and is Asian, right? And then you want to search how much. It's always about the money, right? So then that will work, you know, do a post for under $2,000. Like, that's, and then you'll get that. And it's, you know, and you can play with it. You know how hard that would be to do off platform?
No, it would be impossible.
I mean, people do it. Talk to any producer. It's just like,
yeah,
the inefficiency in time and
wasted.
Money.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So being a former photographer, you're not a professional photographer currently. You're not doing a lot of shoots. That informed how you created this, right? What sorts of things from your previous work and dealing with all these antiquated systems helped you put this together and decide how it would work for people who do those things now and need this to work in a certain way?
So I think it's just, in some ways, it's really intuitive because I've just been around it for so long. So I understand, and I don't even mean on fashion as much as on technology. Like, I understand how that whole flow works. I get dashboards. I get, like, measuring. Like, that's really important to me. I've been, you know, like, Google Analytics, I've been doing, like, in my sleep for, like, 10 years, you know? And so, like, being able to, and then coming back into the fashion industry and seeing how things just aren't measured really easily, like, that's informed me a lot. Like, I wanted to show you our dashboard. This is one of the things I love about, I know your audience can't see this, but
this is a brand dashboard. White and yellow.
Yeah, and it's just like a lot of numbers. And so instead of having to, like, dive into reports and spreadsheets, like, okay, so how much is left in that budget? So you can just see right here, there's 2,500 left in that budget. And you have
That's a budget for a shoot?
For a shoot.
Okay.
For that shoot.
So you can budget your shoots inside the platform?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
And does that mean you're putting money into the platform or you're
numbers.
Just putting your numbers in?
You're putting in you're planning your shoot. So it's like right now, if you're a producer, you create an estimate for your client, you send it to them. You create your estimate here and you send it to them. And it looks much nicer. As part of, you have graphs and you're able to, like, compare it to other shoots that you're having at that time.
Yeah.
And you're able to change it. And so that is one of the things that's informed, like, our direction. I'd say another thing is just visually the way we speak to our community. And so, for example, we send out a weekly newsletter this week in Casting Coin, and it's been, like, one of our biggest, like, growth hacks. I started it, like, the week I started the company, and I haven't missed it. Every Tuesday it goes out. And on it now are, like, thousands of, you know, talent that have signed up. They haven't necessarily been accepted, but they signed up. We're still communicating with them. You're on it. You'll be on it after today. Any person I ever meet, you know, I ask, of course, after, is it okay? And they say yes. And, like, and so in doing so, I've been able to stay in touch with people ambiently. And that's email marketing at its best, you know?
Now, you are gatekeeping who's inside of the platform right now.
We are.
You're filtering.
We're not gatekeeping.
No,
anyone can see the platform.
But, I mean, models that sign up, you approve them.
It's a curated platform, yes.
So what are your criteria for letting people in who are models, photographers, stylists? What are the lines that you're drawing?
To be honest, it's a lot of it is me looking and, like, I know because I've been in the industry a long time. I can tell. Even if somebody's not that experienced, I can tell if they have it. So Bonnie Pressman also is, you know, on my team. Everyone on my team has like 20 years experience in the fashion industry. And so, although I don't really have them like in this part of it yet, I do most of it myself. I can see just by looking. And so we are taking, and most of the people have, you know, also worked for like the biggest brands. And so, but there are definitely, you know, newer talent that I'm taking chances on that haven't worked for people yet, but I can just tell that they're stars and we want stars on our platform.
Have you gotten pushback from the modeling agencies? Do they fear this or dislike this?
The beauty of fashion industry is that, like, again, so low tech and no one, like, pays it. I don't think they pay much attention, really. And I do think everyone's busy, too. But one unintended thing happened that was that we're actually getting agencies reaching out to us to work with us. They want to onboard all their models onto Casting Coin.
And, well, that's good.
And I'm like, okay.
That's not fighting the current. That's surprising.
Yeah, but how does that make sense for them? Why would they do that?
Rev share. And we're fine with giving most of the revenue to them.
Because they're still managers at the end of the day. They're getting their cut of the model's pay if they sign the models up and they're putting in the agency's information.
Yes. And it's a great, it's a nice acquisition tool for us.
But if there's a rev share that doesn't get passed on to your client, which is why a client isn't using, I don't know if my question makes sense.
Why
a client isn't using an agency to begin with?
So our business model is that we take 10% from the model and 15% from the brand. And so, and typically it's 20-20, so it's less. So not only are we more efficient, but we're taking less of a percentage. When a modeling agency puts their models on and we share the revenue of that 10%, we'll give them like 8%. So they're making less money just by nature of that we're taking less. But there's the reason why they're doing it is that they are not getting the opportunities for their models that they need. So they're, you know, we're just a solution for them.
And how would they reach out, Charles, and complain? I mean, this is like, this is advanced thinking that's taking over some of their business because they're still like kind of acting, you know, existing in the past.
A lot of the contracts are exclusive. So you could block your models from being on the platform if they don't have approval from the agency.
I would imagine exclusive models wouldn't use the platform.
Most people have non-exclusive contracts, believe it or not. In the models don't usually know
10
it.
10 years ago, like, I think that was different.
Oh, really? Yeah. And so now we even have people that have exclusive contracts on our platform. It doesn't matter to us. We're not in contracts with anybody. It's really the
They're
problem.
They're violating their contract. You're not.
Exactly. It's their problem. But what happens usually recently a lot is they have their agent reach out to us and then we negotiate with them and then it ends up happening. They know, you know, it's such a broken industry in the agent side of it. And I'm not trying to criticize them, but like we've done a lot of like focus groups and research. Like it's just not efficient, you know. And like there are a lot of people models are not getting the opportunity that they should because they're forced to align with this. They've made an agreement with an agent and meanwhile, they're on Instagram and people are reaching out to them and they can't accept these opportunities. It's like the old taxi hack industry. Like it just, when it's broken and it's like ripe for disruption, you know, no one's happy except for the people that are making the money.
And are you making money?
So we are making money. Yeah, we are. We're earning revenue, and it happened really quickly. Actually, we started earning revenue like 4 months ago, and it's just like ramping up a lot. And I think it has a lot to do with the level of brands that we're working with, and that they are coming back repeat. You know, and they're saying publicly. Bobby Brown just, you know, I don't know if you saw on Instagram. On Instagram, she publicly posted on Instagram, Casting Coin, you did it again.
That's great.
Yep.
Wow, that's huge.
Yep. We just cast something last week. So, yeah, it was really exciting.
Wow. So where are you taking it, you think, next few years?
So we have launched with the fashion industry. We, you know, we plan to conquer that and move very quickly into entertainment. And so what I mean by that is everyone on a production, like so actors, crew, directors, and then also something that's happening actually a lot sooner is celebrities. And so similar to the influencer celebrities, they can have, you know, a profile on Casting Coin and manage their all of their endorsement deals on our in one place. And which is what's incredible about that is this actually came about a couple of weeks ago when I was in LA meeting with an investor, and they work very closely with celebrities, especially in the sports vertical, very big names. And these people have like so many middlemen that are taking a little piece. It's not even like models who are just getting this. There are a lot of people taking a piece. And our platform, because we have like features like, you know, legal documents, we have payment gateways. Like there's a, we're disintermediating, you know, not just agents, but a lot of parts of the process. And so it's an easy sell. They'll be able to manage like all of that in one place and give up much less of each deal.
Are there a lot of human resources sorts of functions that this replaces? Like, can somebody get insurance through your platform?
Absolutely. Or, yeah. So we're negotiating these deals right now, but so group health, we're offering group health insurance to our artists.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. That's incredible.
We're leveraging this the same model that Uber and Lyft uses for their drivers.
Huh.
And so it's a big need. You know, we've
then you
done
get
a
lot. Dedicated people. Yeah, that's great.
Yep. And then another feature, I think I told you about it, Charles, is the taxes. So one of the things we've identified as a big problem in the industry, especially for young models, is tax debt. And so, you know, these models are leaving their short careers at 27, 28, deeply indebted to the IRS. You know, when the rest of us are in college or, you know, whatever, in our early 20s, these guys are working. And can you imagine being like 19 and like, you know, because it's such unsmooth income, you know, 1 month you're making 30 grand and then you don't make another dime for 6 months and you're 19 and you're not paying taxes. And so this is a real thing. And so these, I think of them as young girls, but these young people are leaving, men and women leaving their young careers, and they're so much debt that it's like not an amount of debt that like waiting tables can pay off. And so you're hoping to like, you don't have a lot of options. And so we're solving that by, you know, our CTO is working on this right now, and he's great. He's built a JetBlue app. He knows what he's doing. And so we are setting it up so that all of our artists can have taxes automatically taken out of their income that comes through the platform and at whatever percentage they want. And so
that's terrific.
And you file the taxes for, like, you send the money to the IRS?
So how we're setting it up, and as a CEO, this is important to me. And yeah. So this is a conversation I have with my CTO all the time, like, that it has to happen this way. It has to bypass our company. It's really important to me that we are a platform. We're not getting involved with other people's taxes and things like that. And so, no, it'll go from...
But liability also.
It's a liability, all of those things. And so similar to the payment gateway now, it's an escrow situation. And so, you know, the brand agrees to a certain amount, the talent agrees to it too, and that money goes into escrow. And then the job is done, and then it's released. Similar with the taxes. It's not going to hit Casting Coin at all.
So what kind of team have you put together to execute on this?
So I think the thing is about Casting Coin, we have two things going for us. We have vision and we have team. And we've assembled an all-star team of fashion and tech pros. And so, for example, Bonnie Pressman, she is our head of sales. She's part of the Pressman family that founded Barney's. She pioneered women's fashion at Barney's. She was president at Theory and Ralph Lauren. And she was a model on the cover of magazines in the 70s. And she has been crucial to not only being a bridge, because she's a great bridge. She is, you know, she has relationships with people that have been in the industry for a long time and shaped the industry, really, but also like her point of view. I love experience. Everyone on our team has like a lot of experience. And then we have Ciara Pardo, who has been Rihanna's right hand for 13 years. She is chief executive officer at Fenty, manages the whole Diamond Ball, really manages or oversees all of Rihanna's content creation since Rihanna got here. And she's been crucial with all this celebrity, moving into the celebrity and entertainment pieces. Robin Domeniconi, who founded Real Simple Magazine, president of Time Inc. She ran Bono's Red Foundation. And then we also have Max Wolf, who is a famous economist. He's been crucial. He's actually the first person I got on the team, and he's been crucial in helping me set up the company. He's often, you'll see him on Bloomberg and CNN. He's a money numbers guy. And so he's helped me a lot with our fundraising. Last but definitely not least, our CTO. He built the JetBlue app, AmexTravel.com, a lot of the iconic platforms that you can think of, Jim built. And so I feel great. You know, I'm out there, you know, doing all of this, but they're like the backbone.
Several of those people, are they all full-time on this project?
So two of them are full-time on this project.
Who's full-time?
So Bonnie and Robin.
Okay. Interesting. Michelle, sounds really complicated, but it sounds like it will help a lot of people. And it sounds like a great business for you to be in. Thank you for coming and talking to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. Good luck. It sounds amazing.
Thank you for listening to American Fashion Podcast. On our website, AmericanFashionPodcast.com, you can find our Be a Guest form, as well as a sign-up page for invitations to our live shows, and a new feature, the Archives. With roughly 250 episodes published, the old shows don't fit in our feed anymore, so we've made them available for a nominal fee. Please continue the conversation online. On Twitter, we are at AFPOD, and on Instagram, we are at American Fashion Show, and I personally am at Fashion Tech Guru on just about everything. For direct comments, give us a call at 646-979-8709. That's our voicemail line. Or email info@AmericanFashionPodcast.com. American Fashion Podcast is produced by Mouth Media Network, which holds the copyright to this and all other episodes, all rights reserved. Subsist, friends. Keep making things beautiful. Remain in force. I'm Charles Beckwith, and we'll talk to you again next week.
This is Mouth Media Network, audio for business.